In the fall of 1843, I left for a conference of the Christian Church with my father and two sisters. Samuel, I'm glad you were able to come to the conference, too.
It's a privilege to come, James. But have you noticed that not one minister has preached on the second advent of Jesus?
I have, and it's bothered me. Have you noticed it, Brother Chalmers?
Yes, I feel a lack of freedom in this place.
That's right. The opposition is quiet, but strong.
This is the last day. There's not much chance of it being brought up now.
Why don't you speak, James?
Me? I couldn't. It's customary for the ablest and most experienced man to speak in the last day.
No one is abler than you. I'll be on the platform, and I'll make sure you get a chance to speak.
So will I.
I'm too young. I wouldn't dare.
You must do the Lord's work. You can't use your youth as an excuse to shirk.
Well, if you put it that way. Many were in tears as I spoke. I was glad I had agreed to do my duty. After the conference, I traveled for nearly a year with John Pearson, Jr., as we preached the word throughout Maine.
We've baptized several people here in Reed, James. God has surely blessed our efforts.
That's true, John. Never have I been happier than when the pastor himself said he believed our message.
Yes, Elder Cromwell is a good and honest man.
I hope the message is as well accepted in Litchfield. I think we're doing good work here in Litchfield, John. Many people have embraced the faith. The sinners have been converted and baptized.
Yes, the people have responded well. But Elder Judd, the congregational minister, doesn't care for us much.
He opposed us last time we were here. Nothing has changed there. Oh, hello. Elder Judd, how are you?
Why, Mr. White. Are you still in the land of the living?
No, sir. I'm in the land of the dying. But at the soon coming of the Lord, I expect to go to the land of the living. A brave retort. But as 1843 gave way to 1844, disappointment followed disappointment.
Hey, Miller Eyes, why'd you go up?
What's the matter? Get left behind.
Flap your arms a little. Maybe you can fly to the sky.
James. James. James, I don't know if I can endure any more of this ridicule. We believed so strongly. What can have happened? There is no stretching the time any further. April has to be the end.
Have faith, dear friend. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. You know the rest, John. Say it.
Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
In June, John and I attended a conference in Poland, Maine.
What's troubling you, James? Ever since we arrived at this conference, you've seemed to be under a cloud.
I do feel depressed and disheartened. There are so many fanatics running around spouting off nonsense.
Don't let them worry you. Just rest. We both need it.
You're probably right. During this conference, I am just going to sit and listen and let others do all the talking.
Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Be humble, brothers and sisters, as I am. Bow with me in humility while I lead you in prayer.
Excuse me, Brother Halpert, but this is Brother Jordan's home. Don't you think he should lead us in prayer?
Brother White, I pity you. I will pray for you. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on Brother White. He is prideful and arrogant. Break him down, Lord, and turn his pride to humility. Mercy.
Excuse me, brother. I think you've told the Lord a wrong story about me.
How is that?
You say I'm proud.
You are.
If so, the Lord knows it already and doesn't need to be instructed by you.
You are unduly, sinfully proud. Have mercy, O Lord.
Mercy!
Hold on, brother. In what way do I show my pride? In these worn and soiled clothes?
No, not in that way.
My manner of speaking, then. Or praying. Or am I prideful in my singing?
No, not in those things either. But, oh, brother, fight when I saw that starched collar. God only knows how I felt.
As it happened, Brother Halbert, this collar is borrowed. I arrived with no clean change, and Sister Rounds kindly lent me her husband's shirt with this collar.
Oh, Lord, I have prayed for Brother White, and he is displeased with me for it. Have mercy upon him. Have mercy. Mercy upon Brother White. Brother White, why do you not kneel with me?
I pity you, brother. Your prayers are no more to me than the howling of the winds. I advise you to carry this matter no further. After rebuking this fanaticism, I lost my gloom and enjoyed the rest of the conference. In August, I journeyed 200 miles to the camp meeting in Exeter, New Hampshire. Elder Joseph Bates was one of the speakers.
Brothers and sisters, I liken the Advent movement to a sturdy ship tossed by stormy seas, blown a bit off course, perhaps, and delayed by contrary winds, but sure to reach safe harbor when our Lord comes to gather his sailors to his bosom. What's this?
Elder Bates, do you know my brother, Samuel Snow?
Why, yes, I do, Sister Couch.
He has something important to say to this gathering. It is too late, Elder, to spend our time upon truth with which we are familiar.
Oh, Brother Snow, please come tell us about this new light.
There is new light, Elder Bates. The prophecy begins not in the spring, but in the fall of B.C. 457. You see? The crucial time is the Day of Atonement, which occurs on the seventh day of the tenth month. This year, that day falls on October 22nd.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the holy name! Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.